listening to The Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three relatively grown men binge the iconic HBO series Sex and the City. So dust off those DVDs and grab yourself a white wine or even a Cosmopolitan and settle in. Take it away, boys.
Welcome to the Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three guys rewatch Sex and the City with you. I'm Corey Cavan. And just like that, I'm Corey Cavan. Oh, dang it. I was so close.
And I couldn't help but wonder, I'm Kevin James Doyle.
Abso-fucking-lutely, I'm John Sieber.
There we go.
Yeah, this is a first for the Bradshaw Boys.
It's a first for the Bradshaw Boys, nine episodes into our heavily structured plan. I'm kind of glad we're getting out of the way a little bit, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we just got done recording an episode for this episode we're watching, Turtle in the Hair, season one, episode nine. But the conversation was so good and so unique with our guests that we wanted to re-record this episode, yeah. JTB, so we could specifically talk about the episode and take a deep dive into what people posted on Instagram. And specifically get into Trumpet mushrooms and all the necessary things you need to explore in this episode.
Yep.
So, true. So I hope you all enjoyed, you'll enjoy our episode with Lindsay Metzler of,
you probably already listened to it. Yeah.
Yeah. With, from We Met at Acme, which is a wonderful pod, an Instagram account. And then, it's just so much to cover at any given moment between all of you wonderful Gram followers and between the series itself. I'll stop real quick. Please go to iTunes and give us 5 stars. And, we get those things in fits and spurts. But if you haven't done it, please do it. And then
any
our
new
Patreon.
Good reviews? Any new good reviews that have come in recently?
I'm going to look right now. I'll also say that our Patreon has been steadily growing in a way that makes me feel quite excited.
We got some new Patreon friends.
Steadily, which is making you grow steadily. If you catch my grift.
I catch your grift.
Katie from that one.
We have two new reviews. One's from Mom Alley.
Oh, Mom Alley, my favorite street.
G-H-F-Y-H-H. Mom Alley, Mom Boulevard, said, just discovered the show. I'm delighted to see. Hey, I love the Gilmore Guys and West Wing Weekly. So if you like those shows, you'll love this one. Fun, nice guys chatting about one of our favorite shows. Supportive, goofy vibes.
Aw.
Wow. Yeah, I would take that.
I like being called fun and nice.
Yeah, I like being called supportive and goofy.
Literally, this is the best review we've ever gotten. Literally the best podcast.
Oh.
There are no words for how great the boys are.
Oh.
I listen with headphones when I'm at work and I'm constantly asked why I'm laughing so hard. Thanks to capitalize the boys for some of the best laughs and for sharing their unique perspectives. And then we got ourselves an emoticon with a wink and a tongue out. That's the craziest, most supportive emoticon you could have put.
Dude, how great would you feel if you made someone go to HR because they were so disruptive when they're laughing and snickering?
Well, my friend Rich Binning, shout out Rich.
Shout out to Rich.
He in elementary school, when he was in the computer lab, they were playing like Oregon Trail and stuff, and they were like, you can bring any music to put in the CD-ROM. And so he came and he put DC Talk, the Christian band, put the CD in the computer and his headphones weren't plugged in. And it was just like this really slow thing, but he was like head rocking, like pretending like he was listening to like the heaviest music, and everyone in the computer lab could just hear that he was listening to like this like cheesy Christian band. So, and he's like, everyone looked, and then someone came over there, like plugged it in. He's like, I'm still embarrassed over that. So imagine if somebody is listening to our podcast at work and they think their headphones are plugged in. And it's completely quiet, but it's just us just talking about how hot we think Kristen Davis is and talking about our boners and stuff.
Dude, that is so funny. God. Also, shout out to Oregon Trail. Great game. Like,
yeah. Oh, Oregon Trail is fantastic. I think is like gone through the generations. Like,
I think we need to do. We need to find Oregon Trail, and we need to make a covered wagon with Charlotte, Carrie, Samantha, and Miranda, and see which one dies of typhoid. See which one
dysentery.
Cocks the river and floats it. See what fords the river.
John, let's talk about the special thing we have on the horizon, the vehicle.
The special thing on the
vehicle. What is
this? I don't know about this.
You know about it?
What is
this?
It hasn't been cemented yet, but my cousin, shout out to Andrew Cashin.
I do know about this.
He like 3 years ago, maybe I've shared this on the pod. He came up with the idea of buying a limo with a group of people. And then the rule is every 10th time you enjoyed the limo, like you'd go out every weekend. So every 10th week, you had to be the chauffeur. And then like, so you get 9 weeks of just partying in a limo going around New York City. And then at the 10th week, you have to wear a tuxedo and get a bow tie and drive people around. He executed half of that plan. He bought a limo by himself without 10 people and now is looking for people to drive around in his limo. He has a TV. That TV has a VCR. So, Corey, when you're back in the city, we're going to do Bradshaw Boys podcast. Throw in your tuxedo. Roll down the window. We got a Raul. We're going to cruise around and record a podcast in the back of a limousine. Absolutely.
We're doing Tux in the City. Can't wait.
Tux in the City. We'll get some cigars. Are you guys cigar smokers? Probably not.
Not really, but I will. I'll do it for the team. I'll take a Cohiba for the team.
What is Big drink in the back of the his car?
Scotch. He's a big Scotch guy. Yeah.
We can do scotch.
Yeah. I'll get us some Highland Park. Yeah, and we're going to just cruise around looking at the lights, talking about the city. Dude, we got to get a good photographer. We got to get like Jeremy to come take pictures and stuff like that too.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
we'll see if we can make it a video pod. Mm-hmm. And
we'll hire Annie Leibovitz to come take pictures.
I've been inside Annie Leibovitz's house. Did I tell you that?
No.
No.
You didn't. I walked past her house in the West Village, and my friend who I wrote this show with, used to work for her, and we just walked by this house and the door was open and Annie Leibovitz is inside, and my friend was like, oh my gosh, Annie. And then we went in and I was like sitting on the couch just in Annie Leibovitz's house for minutes. She brought me an espresso.
Nespresso. Like
she gave you a machine for stopping by?
Yeah, she gave me a whole Nespresso machine. And I was like, no, I'll only use the Breville. I don't want these pods. I want to make my own
Breville Bambino
espresso.
Guy. Kevin, you've been really hot to trot on the Breville Bambino.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's your espresso machine, right?
Yep. I made 3 today.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I had two regular coffees.
You didn't need to do your Tony Robbins primer before we started because you're all fucking jacked up.
Well, I did two regular like good coffees, and then my afternoon coffee I made a Cafe Bustelo because I hadn't tried. And
what's a Cafe Bustelo?
Cafe Bustelo is the yellow.
Oh, okay, with the red top.
Yeah, it's like it's like a classic like café con leche. You make it with that. It's like very dark coffee.
Yeah, I just wanted to try. I've been drinking only like counterculture fancy coffee, and I was like, I want to try just like cheap espresso, and it's great. It's like, you know, it's like the difference between like going to like Blue Bottle or just having like diner coffee. Sometimes you just want that diner coffee.
Dude, sometimes you got to get that diner coffee.
I was a fan of the Bustelo.
DC.
Yeah.
But
what's your favorite kind of mushrooms, everyone?
Ooh, that's a great question.
We're about to talk about this episode.
I mean, I don't like know too many types of mushrooms. I feel like I'll crush a portobello.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Shake Shack do like a portobello mushroom sandwich.
I was just gonna say that,
dude. The Shake Shack, like it's called like Shack Attack or something. You can get like the burger with the fried portobello with cheese on top. It's so good. Yeah,
but do you know what's delicious is Westville. There's a chain of restaurants in New York called Westville, and they have like they have the market board, which is just like a bunch of veggies. And you can get the market plate, which is 3 veggies. And they're like mushrooms I think they're just like small mushrooms cooked with like some onions or something like garlic. They're freaking amazing. They're so good.
Yeah, I mushrooms are a thing that really add to when you cook them, like they add so much flavor, but I don't know enough about them and how to cook with them to really go to turtle level mushroom town.
Do you know where mushrooms are fantastic? Is on pizzas. Like get so a mushroom on a pizza.
You throw a thing of mushroom and pepperoni, or I'm a black olive guy on pizza. I'll do a mushroom, black olive pepperoni. So good. Those are just like, I think the white button mushrooms that you slice up and throw them on there. They're so good.
There's a documentary that my brother was telling me about called Fantastic Fungi, which like supposedly is like a revolutionary documentary because they don't like mushrooms are like an in between of the plant.
Yeah, they're not a plant.
They're like this weird hybrid between the two. Probably aliens.
Yeah, you have to forage for them, and they're alive. I mean, I guess all plants are alive, but like they have like a different version of being alive than like a stalk of asparagus or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the way that they recreate cells, I believe, is different from how plants do.
Should we just scrap this whole Bradshaw Boys nonsense and start a mushroom podcast?
We're the friggin' fun guys. Yeah, 100%.
I'm gonna look up on iTunes if there's mushroom podcasts, and I'm gonna read the top review of the number one mushroom podcast while you're doing that.
Okay, cool.
Okay, are you guys ready? This shout out. We're doing this for our main man, Turtle. A fungus, plural, fungi, funguses, is any member of the group of eukaryotic organisms that includes microorganisms such as yeasts and molds, as well as the more familiar mushrooms. These organisms are classified as a kingdom, which is separate from the life kingdoms of plants and animals. But it doesn't say why. Okay. A characteristic that places fungi in a different kingdom from plants and bacteria and some protists. Fungi-like animals are absorbing. Oh, yeah. Okay. So they acquire their food by absorbing dissolved chemicals. So they don't photosynthesize. Okay. And growth is in their means of mobility. So they don't move. They don't need light. That's one thing, which most plants need. That's part of photosynthesis. All right.
So I was looking through mushroom podcasts, a lot of psilocybin, like magic mushrooms.
Yeah.
But I discovered one called Mycoverse, the mushroom podcast on Kingdom Fungi Podcast Network. And the most recent review is 1 year ago from Jimmy Cricket 424. It's a 5-star review. And it's it just says great stuff here. So there you
Hell
go.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Great stuff here.
Energize your mind, bro.
Energize your mind.
Energize your mind. Get some trumpets. Get some baby bellas in there.
Mm-hmm.
Shiitakes. Get some get a couple of, I don't know any other mushroom names.
Listen, plants reproduce by both sexual and asexual means, but that's not what spores do. Okay. No,
that's not what the turtle does.
No. No, that's actually kind of true. The turtle's not he does, his relationships can be sexual and asexual.
Yeah, his relationship, I would say he's maybe a sapiosexual. I'd say Bernard Turtle Top is possibly a sapiosexual. Although he gets into just some like very heterosexual behavior, hard he like goes after women.
Well, this is funny because we've already watched the episode, but we're still going to take a break and pretend like we're going to go watch it now.
Right.
Plus, we need Katie to do the voiceover. But yep. Let's hop off here. I'm going to actually eat my dinner in this small little break that we take. And then we're going to come back.
Eat your dinner.
And we're going to talk about Turtle and the Hare. We're going to talk about vibrators. We're going to talk about the turtle, weddings. And we have a lot of Instagram stuff to go through, too. So we will see you all after the break.
We'll be back. Boom.
Episode 9, The Turtle and the Hare. Carrie is unhappy when Mr. Big tells her he never wants to get married again. Stamford Blatch proposes to her in order to please his grandmother and inherit his part of the family fortune. Samantha's latest pet project is the Turtle, one of New York's most successful yet style-impaired bachelors. Charlotte becomes addicted to a vibrator called the Rabbit, and the girls stage an intervention. And now, back to the boys.
And we are back.
We're back.
Turtle in the hair. There's a YouTube video that made the rounds on like Reddit and stuff like that, where they actually did a race and of a tortoise and a hare.
Uh-huh.
And it was very entertaining. It was just like the fable. The hare ran ahead and was almost at the finish line and then got distracted by like the crowd, and just big old slow moving tortoise just sure as ever.
Damn.
Passed him. It was really, really funny.
That's amazing. I mean, it's funny. I don't know who wins in this episode of Sex and the City, because like the rabbit just gets grabbed and stuck. The rabbit gets stuck in a purse, and the turtle's like.
Is it called the turtle and the rabbit? Is that, or turtle and the hare?
It's called the turtle and the hare.
Oh, maybe yeah. They were making a reference to like some of the hairdos and not the sex toy. I don't know.
Oh, maybe so.
Because the hare loses. Like isn't the whole theme of the fable is don't be hasty.
Right. Yeah. It's like slow and steady wins the race. That's where that comes from, right? Isn't that where slow and steady wins the race comes from?
Absolutely. Dude, Aesop was on top of his shit, man.
Aesop, absolutely. Yeah. It's got to come from that.
I mean, what would the fable be in this? Like, maybe the fable is like, you can't have a rabbit. You can't be too sexually pleasured, or else like no human being will ever. So you have to be slow and steady with your vibrators.
Keep it on a low, slow setting.
Keep it on a low, slow setting.
Put it on the slow cooker.
Yeah.
Listen, that's how just I use 8 hours. 8 hours, and then you're tender and done.
Yeah.
Okay.
I masturbate the way I like tenderness. My pork shoulder.
Exactly.
Just four hours till my penis is nice and tender.
And then I take a break every once in a while and spray
it with some apple cider.
Yeah, yeah. You got it. Well, you got to marinate in its own juices, and then 6 hours later, you can invite all your friends over to enjoy. That's how I do my pork shoulder. Totally. Yeah,
man.
If you jackrabbit yourself, you know none of your friends will enjoy it. You won't enjoy man. It.
You'll be calling all your friends at first, but then they get there and it's like you're nowhere to be found.
What if that was like a couldn't help but wonder that Carrie did? I couldn't help but wonder. What happens if I masturbated for 9 hours straight?
On a slow, low setting.
It's so funny. If you want to get your boyfriend into Sex and the City, then just show him this episode and he'll be like, I really related to Charlotte's character, because that was sixth grade to ninth grade. That was every single day I had off school when my parents were home.
That's
I can't
so
hang
funny.
Out tonight. I need to.
I think there was one time when I was in like seventh grade. When I first started, I think I masturbated like to completion like 8 times in a day.
What?
Jeez.
I'm not built like that, man.
Molly Sims and Brooke Burke, shouts out to Wild on E for helping me get there. Do you remember that show?
No.
That's like that like shows our age gap, I think. I remember it, but it was like not a formative thing. I feel like mine was like Daisy Fuentes on MTV.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, Daisy Fuentes was later on like America's Funniest Home Videos, I think.
Who do you think in the group? I mean, this is a dumb question. Like I was going to say, who do you think masturbates the most?
Out of
and
three
you
of us.
Might say Samantha, but oh. She's probably.
Did you hear what I said?
No,
I was
out
like,
of us.
I was like, out of the three of us. I was like, I don't know. I mean,
no, on the show, like, which character do you think masturbates the most? And I'm not sure if it's Samantha, because Samantha's getting it from other places.
I think realistically,
Miranda.
I think Miranda.
I think probably Miranda. Yeah, I mean, Miranda was the one in the talk where. She was the one that was like, I think, like touting the rabbit more than anyone in the talk. Mm. I think it's her. I think also Miranda's
she's
gotta
the one
be efficient.
Who found it.
Yeah, she's the one. Yeah,
yeah. That's a good point. Yeah.
Well, because when you think about it, it takes a lot of one of the upsides, but diminishing returns of masturbating is that, you know, it's like it's functional. You don't have to. So you don't have to. I mean, they kind of talk about this with Charlotte, but it's like, you don't have to deal with like any discomfort. You don't have to like go buy drinks and see if you're into the person or whatever. You just do it. And then you're whatever. And I feel like Miranda probably doesn't, she's not as romantic as Charlotte, mm-hmm. right? She's not as just like driven by sex as Samantha. Mm-hmm. And she's not quite as open as Carrie is, even with her schedule. So I think I bet she wouldn't talk about it as much, but I think if you go numbers, she'd be the most prone to be like, I don't have time for bullshit. I just got to rub one out.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like
during the weekends, I'll go on dates. I'll pursue relationships. On the weeknight, mama doesn't have time to cook. She's got Chinese food and a vibrator. Right. And her English shows.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like Starship Troopers, like a movie like that, where like gender is normalized and it's like men and women are still separate, but they shower together and like they have equal strength. Miranda is just like, I make as much money as you. I got to do stuff and I have to get this done. I put numbers on the board and then I go to bed and I wake up and crush it the next day. She's just like, it's all clockwork, all of it, all the time. Dude,
numbers on the board is such a good phrase. Like, that's such a good way of describing Miranda.
It is. Miranda's numbers on the board, 100%.
What's her conversation with Skipper like about her masturbation habits?
I bet Skipper's like, well, I got to get in the mood. You know, there's like certain, she's like, Skipper, there's no mood. There's a clock and you got to beat that clock. All right. Once a week, you can extend the clock. And that's when you hit your 3-point jumper, okay?
That's right.
But otherwise, you got to hit that clock because you got to get back. You got to write some briefs. Come on, Skipper. Get your stuff. Get it together.
Legal briefs to check out. That's so funny.
Yeah, totally.
Put an extra finger in there and shut the fuck up.
So this episode starts with the ladies at a wedding. And I have a couple observations about this wedding. First of all, like, I know it's a TV show. We all know it is. But, like, whoever did the seating chart in this wedding did.
Yeah, pretty bad.
Absolute awful job. And like, the seating chart is a very stressful part of a wedding. Kevin, yeah,
you're the only one of us that has had a wedding and invited people and done all of that.
That's, I mean, not true.
Katie and I got,
no, he's the only one that's completed a wedding.
Yeah, I sent out invitations.
Yeah
did,
but
did you get to a seating chart?
Did you get to a seating chart?
No, that's the night that we broke up.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if your relationship didn't make it past the wedding chart, yeah, the seating chart is like, if there's one thing that
shows you how important
wedding,
it is.
It's really, like, yeah.
We got in two major fights during our wedding. The first was whether or not Harlan J. Alford, guest of the pod, was dancing in the ceremony. And the second was the seating chart. Like, the seating chart, there's a lot of stakes. And like, it's when you really start protecting your side of the family and your friends. And you just want everyone to have a really good
best time.
But yeah, they did it. Like, they were with some random, they were with Turtle and there was like a kid there and then the four of them. It was just like, nah.
Carrie lives in this, especially in the first season, she lives in this weird Manhattan where everyone knows each other and you see people on the street, which, like, we do that, but it's like, she just is like, oh, everyone was invited to this wedding. This was this woman who, all the usual suspects were there, but it never rings true of like, this was my big friend group. So yeah, like, it's basically like, she's like, we were the Witches of Eastwick at this wedding and we just got put with a bunch of randos. It's a bunch of finance guys and all these women that hate them and like that kind of thing.
I mean, yeah, she said it was $100,000 wedding too. So everyone would probably have a plus one. Like, I'm thinking, right? Like, Carrie would have brought big and it would have been, if it was $100,000 wedding, mm-hmm, at least back then, 100K won't get you super far in New York nowadays. Like, I don't know, it would have been fancier. There would have been dates. There would have been like, it would have been really nice.
Yeah,
but they also didn't seem like super fun at the wedding. Like, I feel like weddings are like guests' time to like let it all out, especially friend group weddings in New York. Like, some of the best nights of in memory are like just like 40 of your closest friends just go crazy at a wedding venue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kevin has a hot take that he's holding back on.
Yeah. Do you have a hot take?
No, I don't. I don't think they got to mine.
my wedding broke up on the seating chart night and I don't ever want to talk about it again.
Can we talk about Skipper again? Thanks. No. No, I think that they should have been better guests at the wedding. A wedding is what you make it as far as fun, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
And I feel like, you know, you gotta be a little more into it. And these ladies definitely could have stepped up their game.
Yeah,
best wedding song off the top of your head. What is like an absolute must play wedding song?
I mean, I think one of the most recent ones into the Pantheon that just like it came out and the next day it was a classic is Bruno Mars' Uptown Funk.
You're absolutely right. That's the best
one. You know
one.
What makes me nervous about weddings is like when you do the line dancing songs, like two steps now, One slide to the left.
Cha-cha slide.
Like, when, all right. Yeah. The cha-cha slide. When do you learn how to do that? Because I never learned how to do it. And then I try to join in and I have no idea what I'm doing. Did I miss like the rest of the world learning how to do the cha-cha slide? Did you watch YouTube videos in the cha-cha slide? Where, what happened there?
I've never learned. When I was in middle school, they taught
us how to
do
it. Everyone knows it.
I know. Like they did a thing in one of my gym classes one time about the electric slide. But the cha, which like, I don't know, but I don't know. That's the only time anyone's ever done a line dance. I had a friend that grew up in a town in Tennessee where line dancing was like a big thing. And like you would go to the club, but it was like a cowboy club and they would play like hip hop songs, but there were line dances to it. And so that's where all those people learned it. But like I have just everyone like, at the club learned it there. I have no idea.
Every wedding I go to, everyone knows how to do the cha-cha slide. And it's like, I missed the 2 days I missed in school where how to use commas correctly in sentences and the cha-cha slide, because I have no idea how to do either of those things.
It's funny. I know how to do one of those. I know how to like, I'm very good at commas. Don't know how to do line dances.
Can you teach me? We'll talk after the show.
And we can talk.
Could you
we can
do talk the about chicken the dance?
Oxford. I know yeah, where
I
to put a comma
chicken dance because I've been to a baseball game and I've watched a mascot do it.
Okay.
Well, that's like cha-cha slide.
I can't be alone in this. There has to be a listener. Yeah. It's like, I also have no idea what the fuck people are doing and I just try, but then it gets to the point where like you always start where you're in the back, mm-hmm. but it always like turns and then you're in the front and then
you're
not
enjoying the wedding. You're just like, fuck, don't mess up.
That, and mm-hmm. I just walk away or I just like yeah. pretend like I it's just really nerve wracking.
Slide to the left. Dun. Slide to the right. Dun. Two steps now. Dun. Yeah. It's all right. It's anxiety inducing.
This is pretty great. What we have right here. This is very good because, and who knows, maybe Big doesn't want to get married again for this very, let's just pretend this is the reason that he's like, I don't want to have the conversation whether cha-cha slide should be on the DJ list. And I don't want everyone going through this anxiety of the dance, but it says, Big says he's never getting married again. Carrie says, could I date a man who would never get married? And our poll of thousands of people responses, 52% yes, 48% no.
Ooh.
With margin of error right there, that's a coin flip.
Yeah.
That is like, that is 100% down the line.
I'm going to pose a question to our listeners that we don't know the answer to, but hey, maybe message us on Facebook. Facebook? What am I talking about?
Shoot Instagram us a LinkedIn. Is what I mean.
Hey, listen, create a bit.ly and send ask it to Jeeves. A random email. Yeah, ask Jeeves. but I think that some of that is possibly people saying, I could date a man who could never get married again. But maybe even subconsciously wondering if they could change that as they in a long-term relationship. And I'm not trying to like say you want to change men, but I think sometimes people get into a relationship saying, listen, I just want to be with you. And then you get comfortable with someone in a relationship and you're like, what are we doing? Why don't we just get married? Like, I think people think they don't care. And then when they're with the right person, they want to like lock it down. Because you like that person.
I do think there is something to that, Corey, because I do think that there is like a, I don't know, like all good wisdom is not prescriptive, but is not just like, you know what you got to do? I'm John. Like, you got to wait till you see someone at your work and then go ask them out if they're cute. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. you couldn't explain how you and Katie met each other and right. you don't, but there's wisdom that you can give out. And so I do think that the wisdom is like, there is a certain point at which she would need to leave Big and just be like, or any person would have to be like, you don't want to be married. That's fine. But you don't want to do it so early that even if the person says, I'm never going to do that again, there is a certain amount of exploratoriness in dating that you can still do. Even if a person said, I'm never going to have kids and you want kids, I don't necessarily think that you have to self-eject right then because you're like, we're on different pages. Mm-hmm. But there would be a point at which that growth or that would never change. But you also can't get to know that person and then hold it against them later if they do change. But it's just...
Well, I think it's interesting with Big too, because he... Like, he may be saying, like, I never want to get married again. And he is specifically talking about his experience with marriage, which was with someone in which he grew a part of and ended up cheating on and didn't have a good marriage. And, like, what he might not be saying or actually realizing at the time is that he had a limited understanding of what marriage was, and he's not willing to have that marriage again. Because... he obviously doesn't believe that. He says it, and someone even says in the comments, like, his actions don't follow a line with his words. But mm-hmm. like, I think it's also important to know in relationships, people only know what they know, what they've experienced.
That's true.
So someone could say, like, I don't, like, especially if they've been married, they could be like, ah, I never want to get married again. And like, time heals all wounds. Like,
yeah.
maybe they got out of a shitty relationship, and like, you are the person that like, makes them feel better, makes them feel complete, and like makes them want to be married again. So, I mean, I'm actually like kind of torn by this too, because there's a part of me that's like, yeah, Carrie, if you want to be married and he says no, that's not a match. Mm-hmm. But there's another part of me that's like, he might not know what it is he wants. And he's just saying something that is very easy for him to say, which is like, I tried it, I don't want to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And we know as the story goes along that, like, yeah, he does want to get married again. He marries Natasha and then he marries Carrie. So it's like, he's not even close to being done with marriage.
That's an interesting thing just for people in general, where I think that we hold a thing in society about how certainty is like, there was a podcast on this. I wish I could remember what it was, but they were basically like,
is it Renegades, the Bruce Springsteen Barack Obama podcast?
That's what it is. It's the first episode, and they talk
about,
sure,
it wasn't the mushroom podcast that I just read the reviews on.
It's also on that. It's the episode about wood ear versus lamb's tongue, but it's on both of those. They're both very insightful.
Sure it's not from South Slope Smokers?
Oh, you mean the people we're going to partner with? They gave us the DVDs. I think it's on, I think it's on their Australian Ram's Horn strain podcast. I think it's on that one.
Sativa.
Yeah, it's a sativa. It's an indica blend, but mostly sativa. But but there was this one podcast, and they basically talked about how we value in our society people that are like, I never change my mind. I know what I think and I hold to it. And they were like, if you do a poll of most people change their mind as they become more informed, and that is actually a more rational way of living. And we hold this thing, especially in a society right now where we're very opinionated and we're like, this is what I think. It's like, they're like, no, most people don't do that. Most people say something and then they get information and they weigh it out to their lives and they're like, oh, actually, this is what works. And most people are much more malleable than they let on. And it's usually a good thing. Like, it's basically just the definition of understanding. So it's like,
yeah, I mean, there's a lot to that, like normalizing being wrong, that like I really, really love. Like, yeah, being wrong's great, because then you get to absorb new information and change and then be better. So that's super interesting. I can't wait to check out the Southside Smokers podcast.
Dude,
South Park Slopers.
Also, the strain is like, the strain hits really hard. It's really good.
I think that what and I think this is the case with some of the characters throughout the show, but what ends up happening in life is like, you have your expectations and your wants, and then they meet head to head with other people's, but then also with just the conveyor belt that life is, you know? So it's like, having kids or getting bored with wanting to have kids, or just like getting bored with like, what do you do with your time? Like, I heard someone that was just like, the main reason to have kids is because like, when you get older, that's just something to do. And they're like, people think that that is like a bad reason to have kids, But they're like, it's actually a perfectly legitimate reason to be like, yeah, you, that just gives you something to do that is more meaningful than other things that you can do.
Yeah.
And so I do think there, one of the things that like Big does, and you can take Natasha out of this, but with Carrie, it's sort of like the conveyor belt of life goes by and then he's just like, okay, well, you have this decision you can make. You can continue to spend time with this person that you care about and that you have this connection with, or you cannot, but you can't ever stay in the same place ever. You're never just like you don't get to like hang out and make tomato sauce and just be like, what? I just have this great flirtatious banter at all times with this person who comes in and out of my life as I choose. And I feel like a lot of Big situation is like he had to, I don't know, just like reckon with another human being rather than be like, I got my money, I got my place, I get to do life exactly how I want it. If you got to choose that, then like he wouldn't get to be with the girl that constantly he finds that he's in love with.
Yeah, totally. It like brings up a thing where like it's also the timing of things that like relationships evolve, where I think Big is in a very good spot at this point, but like eventually that relationship's going to evolve to where he can't just make tomato sauce and like muse and flirt, you know, like they both have to move to another thing. I'm like full of great things that I don't know how to cite tonight, but there's a thing where it's like there's something like all relationships are in motion, and all relationships
I love the
definition. There's a better word for emotion that I'm not like quoting right from it, but it's like they're all going somewhere, and so they can't just be static, you know. And like you see that with Carrie and Big and any of these. That's like what ends up. I feel like you see that in New York a ton, where it's like, and New York is a place that exacerbates it, where it's like, hey, my lease is ending. What are we doing? You know, like it moves people to different places.
You know what I think is cool?
And this is $1 billion.
You know what's cooler than that? $1 trillion.
Whoa,
okay. 1.9. Okay. So I think that that's one of the special things about friendship. And that's like what is kind of cool about the show is like you get the Carrie Big, Carrie Aiden storyline. But the thing that keeps you going throughout the series is the friendships. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you just said about relationships, Corey, that I think it doesn't make friendships better or worse. It just makes friendships are a special type of relationship that does not constantly need definition and doesn't need to be going anywhere. Like you kind of don't need to have a DTR with friendships. They can be more like more fluid and up and down and just have a consistency that like a romantic relationship can't have and shouldn't have, because friendships aren't as intimate either. So you share more with those, but there is something special with friendships that it's like, it doesn't always have to be going somewhere. I mean, besides just like, what it is. I mean, some can. I'm sure that you could drill down and you're like, well, but
no, but
I don't know.
Right. Like, I mean, I think the three of us, like our relationships are, you know, like Kevin, we met through friends that were like, you both do comedy. And like, we've had projects that have been like, oh, let's do this show. Let's do this podcast. And like John, the same with me and you, but there was never a thing. You're right. Where we got to be like, what are we doing in this friendship? It's more just like, sometimes we're hanging, sometimes we're doing projects. Also that quote, I found out it's all relationships are teleological. It's by Donald Miller, the author. But,
what's teleological mean?
It means all relationships are essentially on like a forward moving timeline. So like there's, which I guess if you look at that in like the friend thing, they're not on, there's no ticking, like, countdown essentially, but like the three of us, our relationships have definitely changed over the past however many years.
That our relationships would end in a triple friendship wedding.
Oh my gosh,
that's what our live shows are.
Oh my gosh,
that's what, when things open up again and we start doing live shows, which we will do, every live show is going to be us getting married to each other in front of an audience. Dude, that's what it is.
I would love that, because there's so many great bakeries in this neighborhood of like these wedding cakes that they have are so fun. It'll have like the whole wedding party on like a suspension bridge. I just want to get that with us and bring it to our live show.
God, I would love that.
In order to get invited to our wedding, you have to be a patron.
I'm kidding. Patrons only at the wedding.
I'm kidding.
Dude, am I going to have to divorce Katie in order to get married to you, to get friendship married to you guys?
No, dude, you just open it up. Open up that relationship. Get Katie in there. It's the best. Yeah.
No, I think it's just us. To be legally married, we just have to all share a Costco membership or just something like that.
Yeah, just right, add us on your card. You guys can get on my new Delta Reserve card. I'll add you as trusted members. We'll just add each other on our cards.
You can join my Costco, yeah, because I'm like a gold star or whatever it's called, executive. So.
Oh, heck yes.
Let's move to this second tier part of this question, which was when Samantha says, "Oh, just be cool, you don't care." Then he'll wonder why you don't, which will make him realize that he does. And then it's a whole new ball game, because I actually do think that is like simultaneously true and has some wisdom in it, and also the definition of like playing games. But there is a lot of truth to that, that it's like if a person is just like, whatever, one thing that you can do, I guess there's a difference between playing a game or being grounded in who you are and be like, you know what? Like, this person shouldn't give all myself to this person,
right,
so that they realize how much they appreciate me. And then you have to advocate for yourself a little more than just like doing bullshit after that to like use it as a trick.
Yeah.
But initially to do that, she is right. What do you guys think?
Well, the thing you bring up about playing games is really interesting, because like there's a thing where people talk about, they're like, no games, you know, like I don't want any games, which is like true. You don't want to manipulate people, but there is a playfulness in the beginning of some relationships that could be looked at. There's like there's a playfulness, and there's also a set of boundaries that you can have with someone where it's like, it can actually lend to what you're supposed to do at the beginning of a relationship. Like, I think sometimes people are like, no games. And so they're like, we'll just sit down and we'll just do business. We'll talk about what our expectations are, which like could be healthy. But also, you can definitely talk a thing to death. Like, sometimes you have to experience who you are. And sometimes flirting doesn't necessarily need to be mean games, but like flirting can kind of be like, yeah, whatever. Like, we don't have to decide everything now. Let's just like have a good night, leave a little bit of mystery there. We don't need to lead each other on and make each other jealous, but like, you don't have to have everything spelled out at the beginning. What do y'all think about that?
Yeah, I think
quit playing games with my heart.
I think for the most part, relationships that this is a big generalization. So here we go. Relationships that succeed are generally just very easy. And I feel like games are layers that complicate and make relationships difficult. Mm-hmm. And like, oftentimes when people are like, I don't know if it's right. Like, I don't know. Like, occasionally when people come to me advice, I look at the relationship. I'm like, is it easy? Is it like, is it low maintenance? Is it like a simple thing to navigate? Then it's probably a good relationship. But if you are like having to like read a playbook or like try to like approach this like game theory, and you have to like go like metagame it and like do all these things, I'm like, what does that say about the relationship? What is it like? Relationships are not that complex. So big generalization. I tend to think like in the early stages of relationship, if there's like some flirting going on and all that stuff, but like when it comes to a serious relationship, I don't know. Like, someone in the comments says, like, what does it say about your relationship if you have to use reverse psychology? Like, that's a tactic you use on a kid. And those relationships, for the most part, once again, big generalization, every relationship is different. Those relationships seem a little bit more childish than serious.
The only pushback I would say, which is basically not applied to Carrie, but with what Sam is saying, I do think that you have to be prepared to like let the person go. Like with anything, you have to be prepared to like live just life in general with like open hands. But I do think that she is right in that, like, you kind of have to, I mean, what, it's gotta be a movie or something, but like when you like, it's like, think about Las Vegas. It's like, you have to be able to walk away from the table, you know, and you have to expect that, like, hey, whatever, like, that's where it cannot be a game. Like, hopefully the person will then appreciate you if there is something there, but you do have to be prepared to walk away. And I think that there's some truth that it's like, that is a lot of time in like any romantic comedy movie. That's like the running through the airport or like anything like that is usually that moment where it's just like, holy shit, I was stressed out. I broke up with you because like, I was stressed out, but like, I do want you. And I do think there's some truth to like forcing those moments when you realize like, what do you really want?
Yeah.
But I don't, I do understand everything you're saying is true, John, too.
Yeah. But I was like, in that same vein, like, John, if you think, let's say you've got a couple of things going on at the beginning of a relationship, and then at some point someone's like, hold on. Can we just clarify something? And then you sort of talk and get on the same page and you're like, I'm not meaning to, like, I know that we're not going to, I don't know if we're going to get married. Mm-hmm. I don't want to lead you on, but I really like where we are now. Can we just keep doing this? Like, I think if there's a moment of people clarifying things, but allowing to still have fun, it seems like that would make things better, like to just kind of cut through things.
I lost you there for a second. I'm going to say yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're on the same page. We had a communication breakdown and now we're clearing it up. You know, that's what it is. The internet illustrated what it is.
The internet is our big, and we had a little bit of a hiccup and now we're just saying yes.
Yeah. We're just saying yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So let's talk about Samantha's quote. He's a cute little fixer upper. Carrie, sweetie, he's a man, not a brownstone. Is it possible to remake a man? 22% said yes. 78% said no. People DM'd saying in terms of clothing and stuff like that, but not in values.
I think that's correct.
I agree with that as well.
Yeah.
I think it is a dangerous game, famous short story about hunting humans, to try to change somebody. I mean, that's ultimately what was the breakdown of my engagement that you guys maliciously joked about earlier. No, I'm kidding.
No. We joked about the wedding. We didn't joke about the engagement.
Yeah, but we'd never joke about that.
Because it never happened.
I'm sorry.
No. But what led to it was now that I'm far enough apart from it that like I can process it, is that she wanted to change me. That's what I was focusing on at the time. I was like, she wants to fucking change me.
Right.
And I won't change. But now I'm farther away and I'm like, oh yeah, like I wanted to change her too. Not actively by being like, change these things, but by me not changing and being like, you have to accept me. That is me being like, oh, one day you have to change in what you want in a person. Mm-hmm. And it was just two people wanting the other to change.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're able to like be friends and be able to like, we got dinner like a year ago because we were both at a party and then we left and got dinner and both of us were like, that's like really funny that we thought that we should have been married. But it was basically us both being able to be like, yeah, neither of us, both of us wanted each other to change, rather than just accept like we're two cool people. But that's what's difficult when you're in a relationship. You can love someone and then come to terms with the fact that they're not going to change this one part that you really need in a person. Yeah.
Totally.
So, but you know, like I love mushrooms and she accepted my breath for what it was.
Yeah.
Are you guys ever nervous? You have bad breath?
Yeah. If I don't drink enough water, I get bad breath.
Water's the main thing. Water. I've looked it up and read stuff and they're like, a lot of times you say you have coffee breath, it's that coffee's the last thing in your breath, but you're dehydrated. You just need to like drink some water. Yeah. Drink some water, like get stuff off your palate.
Yeah. If I don't drink enough water, like I start to get that dry mouth. and yeah. then I can smell it. And then you put on your COVID mask.
Oh, that's what
it recirculates in your nose. And you're like, fuck,
it's the worst.
Who ever wants to be near me ever?
I know.
And that has to be like morning breath is too, right? You just haven't had any water in your mouth all day.
I guess that's what it is. And also your mouth, I don't know. Has your mouth just been closed for 8 hours? Maybe not, because most people sleep with their mouths open.
My mouth wide open. I get all those spiders to crawl in there.
Oh, dude, I love that. I love that you're so full of protein from eating spiders at night.
Hell yeah, man. I'm just a spider eating daddy.
Dude, you might have mushrooms crawling in your mouth. We already established they're not just like regular vegetables. Maybe they crawl.
Could you imagine if you woke up to a trail of mushrooms moving in your mouth?
It'd be like Alice in Wonderland. That'd be incredible. You'd be like, whoa.
It'd be like Kevin the other night being scared to walk across the length of his apartment.
Dude, how amazing. This is one thing. This is a two-star tangent, but how amazing that, like, you know how Community would do those themed episodes where they would do like the Western paintball episode. Mm-hmm. How much of a bummer is it that Sex and the City didn't dive hard into the genre stuff like they did with that one where they go into like the weird circus theme, but like they should have just gone full on into an Alice in Wonderland episode.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They should have just gone so hard into genre parody in a couple of theirs.
I agree.
That'd be awesome if they did like the Magic School Bus and then like went into like a penis and like and Sam just shows them around. She's like, this is called the Vast of Friends. They're like, dude, what's this? And like
Miranda,
they built the
Miranda's
semen here.
Miss Frizzle.
Yeah.
who would be like the little lizard? Yeah, they could fly into Stanford's ear.
I feel like Stanford would be the little like gay lizard.
He'd be
like the gay best friend lizard.
He would be on Carrie's shoulder. Yeah.
Would it be the bus that she's on the side of with the dick drawn on the side?
Yeah, that's the Magic School Bus. Yeah,
dude, totally.
And then it would just like,
we need to make that match up,
dude. It just seems like, well, it's exciting to, I don't know, with all the stuff that's out now. I don't know if there's just like a grand sex show that like really like so many things, including this podcast, talk about sex and relationships that I'm like, I don't know, like what TV show is there that does what Sex and the City does? Cause I was like, it would be cool if there was something like Sex and the City now that also wasn't bound as much by reality. They could do stuff like that. I don't even know what shows.
Deal or No Deal.
Blue Bloods. That's what they talk about at dinner every Friday.
Oh man.
Hey, let's hit this poll question because we talked a little bit about it with Lindsay from We Met at Acme.
Let's hit this poll question and then pass it around.
Bro, pass that poll. All right.
it's fucking good shit.
Shout out to South Park Slope Smokers.
Dude, South Park, like Park Slope Smokers. South Slope Smokers? Is that the name of the podcast?
South Slope Smokers.
South Slope Smokers, find them on iTunes. They said they were going to start a podcast.
They didn't upload it.
They didn't start it.
Yeah, they're too high.
Yo, let's hit this poll question.
Let's hit this poll question, everyone. In a city of great expectations, is it time to settle for what you can get?
Hell yeah. No, I don't think you said... it's not that you never settle, but... If you're saying, if you're thinking in your mind, like, am I settling? Like, you have one life. That can't be the thing you lead with of settling. You can say, like, you know what? It's time to settle down because, like, I want to have kids or, like, I can't go out as much. But if you're like, am I settling? Then it's like, we're on the wrong track.
I think I think it's a bad move.
Settling down and settling is something, two very different things. And it's like, I would never, ever tell my friends to just settle. Like, I think like that is, I don't know, that is thinking so little of your friends. I would never tell my friends that. I'll never tell my children that. I'll never tell like anyone I respect and value that they should settle. I would tell them that they're great and wonderful and they can do, like they can accomplish and get great things.
Mm. How do you tell the difference between settling and settling down? That's my question.
Bro, great question.
There we go.
I'll answer it. If you're smoking out of a bong, then it's time to settle down and grow up. Okay.
Yeah. If you're at Freddy's at 7 a.m. smoking cigarettes inside, drinking whiskey, it's time to settle down.
Demanding that people do karaoke.
Yeah, but settling implies that you in the back of your head could have done better. Ooh. That you are going to live the rest of your life saying, I should have been with this person, or I should have done this, or I should be here. And in the back of your head will be that germ that says, I didn't do it because instead I just settled. And I think there's going to be a lot of issues that arise from that and cause a lot of problems.
You are on the pathway to resentment.
Exactly.
Do you think some people are more self-disposed to that? Do you think some people like expect more from a partner? I think they do. I think some people are genuinely more critical of themselves and a partner. And I think that's maybe tougher for people to get over than others. I think there's some people that are more predisposed towards just being like, this is it. We like settle in. We're going to do it. But do you think other people are more predisposed to like asking questions?
I think so. Yeah.
I think that I think that expectations in life, going with the flow, and being, I think, somebody who's adaptable. That's like that's what I've seen in my parents' marriage that has been really good. And also not just their marriage, but like the way that they've stuff we've gone through as a family, like having parents that are able to be adaptable to different situations, I think has been really good. And I've seen it from them as a source of comfort as their son, to just be like, wow, I really am always proud and comforted by my parents when they're like, go with the flow, like it's going to be okay, and can see the future. And I think part of that is expecting that bad things are going to happen, and that life has different things. Like, you're never going to come to this place where you're like, oh, I'm happy. Mm-hmm. And so I think like that is just a quality that is about not like living in the moment or something, but just realizing like you're never going to be totally satisfied. You're like, pipes are going to break, and like, you're not going to have enough money, and this things are going to happen. And like, and I feel like if you have too many, I mean, Charlotte's a great example. Mm-hmm. If you have too many strict expectations, like, you're setting yourself up for disappointment.
Yeah.
And I think Charlotte is the type of person who that exact thing happened to her. And then thankfully we have the rest of the series where she was able to deal with that.
Totally.
Mm. Yeah, that's a great point. Life is a highway.
Life is a highway. Yeah. Unfortunately, that's we have to settle and the podcast.
And just listen, like, the only thing we didn't cover was the rabbit, but you people don't want 15 minutes of us three guys talking about girls using vibrators.
We also talked a little bit about Lindsay. Yeah, up top. But thank you so much.
I will say this:
for...
I've never used a sex toy on myself, but
haven't you humped a mattress though?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had sex with a mattress, but that's not a sex toy. That's just a bed that was at a La Quinta Inn.
I would say that's a sex mattress.
What is the most popular guy sex toy?
Probably
what would the guy's version of the rabbit be?
I don't know. The flashlight?
Probably a flashlight.
Yeah, the flashlight. Well, that's what we want to say. We are sponsored this podcast by the makers of the rabbit, and they've endorsed us. We've got molds of our penis. Mm-hmm. And so
Kevin's is the Garth, of course.
Yeah, Kevin's the Garth.
Yeah, the Garth. Oh man. That's why you don't want 15 minutes of us talking about sex toys.
Thanks so much for joining us. Check out our Patreon for all of the even episodes. Episode 10, season 1, episode 10 will be going up on the Patreon. And join us over there. We do a lot of bonus episodes and fun announcements and things like that. And we love y'all.
We love y'all.
As we said, go leave us a review. Give us a 5 Cosmo. Send us a voicemail, an email, and participate in the Instagram poll so we can talk about what you are thinking on the Instagram.
And, yeah, hit us up.
Hit us up.
All right.
What else should we hit, Corey?
Oh, man, it wasn't turned up. let's hit, you know, I will say we really do answer voicemails and stuff. So send us some voicemails, send us some emails, send us some females, and, we will, send us some males, send us some, B-mails. I don't know. I was trying to play Life as a Highway and I was just really killing time there. Didn't really work. Later. My phone won't work. Later, taters.
All right, later, taters.
The Bradshaw Boys stars Corey Cabin, Kevin James Doyle, and John Sieber. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Balin, and narrated by Katie Sieber. This podcast is part of the Seltzer Kings Network. Check out all their great podcasts at seltzerkings.com. You can find the boys on their socials at The Bradshaw Boys or on their website at thebradshawboys.com. And as always, if you see them in the street, tip your glass. Thanks for listening.